Greetings all and welcome to another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Dan Stultz and I'll be your host today. You can reach me on my blog at itproguru.com or email me at itproguru@microsoft.com. Today we're continuing our Data in the Cloud multi-part series as we talk about understanding architecture and data management considerations across Azure. Make sure you stick around for the end of the show where we'll share some great tips on how you continue learning and also a program where you can gain access to free Microsoft software and cloud services. Today we're joined by Scott Klein and welcome Scott. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Maybe we can start off with you just kind of giving our audience a quick introduction of who you are, what you do. I understand you work at Microsoft, and how you interact with some of the technologies that we're going to be talking about today.
Sure. So, like you said, my name is Scott Klein. I am in DPE, which is now DX. So I'm a senior technical evangelist for Microsoft in DX. And the technologies that I cover are focused on, I'm sort of like a data platform evangelist. So I cover our data platform technology. So SQL Server and Azure Virtual Machine, Azure SQL Database, and then even expands to some of our big data tech, Internet of Things technologies, HD Insights, machine learning, DocumentDB, things like that.
Okay, awesome. And how long have you been doing that, or how long have you been working with these technologies?
So I've been with Microsoft just over 3 years, and so I've been the data guy since day one. So I've been for quite a while. So I was one of the interesting kind of tidbit. I was one of the first four SQL Azure MVPs prior to joining Microsoft. So. I'm claiming that, even though it's not a SQL Azure MVP anymore, I'm claiming it.
Awesome. I think that's a common theme with Microsoft, by the way, just recruiting from the MVP core. That's exactly how they got me to. That's how they found me. So
nice.
Let's dive into some of this technology because we've got a ton of stuff to cover today. Okay. Start me off with Azure SQL Database. What is it? Why do I care? As somebody that's thinking about moving transactional database services to the cloud.
So if you think about Azure SQL Database, a lot of us, if you're a SQL person, a lot of us DBAs on-prem or on-premises, a lot of these DBAs, we have to focus on a lot of aspects of SQL Server. So not just development, but a lot of the IT pro DBA roles. And a lot of that stretches into things like, maintenance and updates and management and things like that, right? Things that are really outside of the scope of a DBA, so more hands-on, more. And really, SQL Server, for a SQL Server person, it's really about, doing work with SQL Server, so doing development, doing DBA at functional roles, not really wanting or needing to focus on the hardware aspect, right? So Azure SQL Database is really logical administration versus physical administration. So Azure SQL Database says, we're going to take SQL Server and offer it up as a service. So you don't have to worry about the physical aspects of SQL Server. Just do the things that you love to do in SQL Server. So, write code, create databases, do security, things like that. And there's because it's running in Azure, there's obvious benefits to running in Azure, things like, high availability, higher SLA, things like that. But it's really just SQL Server as a service. So I don't have to worry about doing, am I up to compliance or, do I have to do, how's my machine doing, the physical nature. So again, logical administration versus physical administration. Let me just do the logical stuff. Let me code. Let me do the things that I love to do. And I have to worry about the physical aspects of that.
So the DBA is... instead of really, it sounds to me like then the burden is being taken off of the IT engineer versus the DBA, because the DBA is still going to be out there, writing triggers, writing statements, configuring joins, setting up tables, fields, all that stuff that a DBA has to do, and then all of that other stuff that generally falls on an IT engineer or even in a lot of companies, it's consultation with the DBA, or what I've seen a lot actually is bringing in a third party to do that because nobody wants to do it, right? So those are the functions that are taken away. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's about right. And it really depends, honestly, on the environment, because, it depends, small shop to large shop, enterprise shop, the DBA is doing everything, right? As far as the IT, the IT side or the system admin side, It really depends on the shop, but you're absolutely right. It's the IT system admin type of thing is the kind of the role that's being taken away. It was interesting when we first started talking Azure SQL Database. A lot of the DBAs thought, "Oh my goodness, I'm out of a job," and they were panicking. Oh my goodness, right? And that's not even close to being true, because it's a paradigm shift. DBA is still very necessary. It's just that physical administration, right? A lot of things that you mentioned about, you know, the hardware, you know, the sysadmin person, you know, his role is, you know, not that we're getting rid of his role, but it's just, you know, we're doing things a little different now.
Yeah, we're definitely changing the roles a little bit, and we'll hopefully get an opportunity to talk a little bit more about that later.
Yep.
You know, one of the big things, and you touched on this already a moment ago, is scalability. One of the things, you know, for cloud services, you know, we hear the buzz about how scalable, everything is scalable, big workloads, massive capabilities out of moving to the cloud. You know, what does that mean? Do we have customers, you know, that are actually using this stuff, that are using it at scale with, you know, big systems and solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. This is what the beauty about, you know, software as a service or platform as a service, right? SQL Server as a service. You know, a lot of us, you know, it's hard to scale if I'm running, you know, SQL Server on premises, or if I'm running, you know, SQL Server, even SQL Server in Azure Virtual Machine. How do you scale a virtual machine? How do you scale an on-prem box? And there's the concept of scale up versus scale out. And scale up really says, okay, I'm just going to throw more hardware and CPU at it. But the beauty of Azure SQL Database is the term elastic scale, right? The ability to go from one node to 10 nodes. So, you know, one of the interesting concepts around this was, you know, like we have customers that, you know, the ability for SQL Database to scale, you know, we have customers that take, you know, just terabytes of data across, not just across one database, but across multiple, you know, thousands of databases. So, you know, 2,000 databases, 1,000 databases that can, instead of having, you know, 1,000 people logging into one database, we have 1,000 people logging into scaled across multiple databases. So because we're, you know, SQL Server as a service, we can take that, scalability is much easier to do. So, you know, take that database, partition that database across almost endless amounts of databases. So, you know, we now have, and this is the scale out concept. I've got, you know, we have one customer that's, you know, 380,000 logins per day, not against one database, but against, you know, thousands of databases. Mm-hmm. So our performance goes up. We don't have to go buy additional hardware to support that. It's, you know, the ability to just say, okay, scale out, bam, done, and with a matter of seconds, or is the beauty of Azure SQL Database.
And are these mission-critical workloads, or is this data warehousing that sometimes I need it when I run a report kind of thing?
No, these are OLTP, you know, mission-critical workloads. These are, you know, OLTP, high transaction workloads, banking, you know, ticketing reservation systems, you know, Lady Gaga comes into town. you need to be able to support, you know, you'll be able to support the demand of the ticket generation, things like right. that. So. You name it. It could be airline. So, yeah, absolutely mission-critical workloads, but it could be, you know, banking, gambling, you know, ticket reservation systems, things like that, all types of workloads. For reporting, it really doesn't make sense because, you know, you don't really don't – it's kind of a little separate beast. But, you know, scale really supports, hey, you need that high transaction, that high throughput, that high scale, this is what the Azure SQL Database provides.
Okay, awesome.
That elastic scale scenario.
Yeah, and I know there's one customer that is leveraging the service to run their mission-critical multi-tenant software application on Azure SQL Database. They have over 20 terabytes of data across about 225,000 databases, and it supports over 2 million logins a day. So I've heard of some of the customers as well, and pretty massive infrastructure. Not to mention, of course, the fact of Microsoft as a customer themselves, who has, you know, massive infrastructure out there as
absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, so we definitely eat our own dog food.
For sure. So you get enormous scale. It's mission critical. It's ready for prime time.
Yep.
How does that differ from running SQL Server in an Azure VM?
So we get to ask that question a lot, and it real boils down to what your needs are. So first, you have to look at, you know, how fast do I want to get to the cloud? SQL in a VM is full. SQL Server in an Azure VM is full compatibility to what you have on-prem. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, if you look at kind of a feature comparison, an Azure SQL database is getting much closer, but things like, you know, if you need encryption, if you need full text search, if you need service broker, if you need, you know, certificates, things like that, a few of these things that are not supported in Azure SQL database yet, then, you know, one, it's a functionality comparison. I need these things. They're not in Azure SQL database yet, so I need to go to SQL Server and a VM. Uh-huh. Right? That's one. Two is, it may not be a feature comparison, but it's just a quick lift and shift, as they say, right? I'm spinning up a quick dev environment, or I'm spinning up a quick QA environment. So easily move my database as is, bam, done, right? Things like that. If I need to, you know, if I need to, like we just talked about, scale, well, you know, scale is a little more difficult, doable, but a little more difficult to do in a VM. But there's also, on the flip side to that, it's not just a feature comparison, but there's the ability to say, you know what, I'm not really to migrate fully to the cloud yet or migrate my entire investment to the cloud. So I still want to leverage what I have on-prem, but leverage the cloud in like a data continuity or disaster recovery scenarios. So that's a VM environment where I can spin up a SQL Server VM, domain join that on-prem, and and have data replicated, so if something happens in an on-prem environment, I have my disaster recovery environment fail over to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does, and that's actually one of my favorite newer features of being able to literally replicate my data center from my on-premises environment into Azure. And the really great thing about it is, you know, as I think about this technology and how it's put into play, you know, it doesn't cost money to send data up to Azure. So that whole replication process is kind of free, except for the cost of storage, which is wicked cheap.
Absolutely, wicked cheap. So, and this is one of the messages we're trying to get to companies, big and small, is like, you know, you spend a lot of money on these data centers that you never use.
Yeah.
Right? And why are you doing that? Millions of dollars a year on these data centers that you never use. Well, we use them. Well, how do you use them? Well, we just replicate data to them. No, that's not...
Exactly. That's not using it.
That's not using it. So how can we leverage... You know, so instead of spending, you know, $100,000 a month on a secondary data center, spend a couple $100 a month for one or two Azure VMs that are domain joined to your on-prem domain. Data is replicated. So if something happens, man, just manual failover using always-on high availability and, you know, and you're still up and running. So this is a huge scenario that Microsoft is really pushing. That it's a great scenario, right? Yeah. So that's one of the benefits of SQL in a VM, right? That you really can't get with Azure SQL Database.
Yeah, and in years past, I did a lot of consulting from a business continuity planning standpoint, disaster recovery. I mean, if you think about it, from a disaster recovery standpoint, you just want to make sure that you do that business continuity planning first, right? So you're recovering from after having a plan in place.
Yep.
I'll tell you, you know, whenever I was talking to customers, we weren't talking about tens of thousands of dollars or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about millions of dollars. I mean, I know business continuity planning goes a lot deeper into than just the technology. You got key stakeholders. You've got, you know, the data itself and lots of other things. But a really, really, really big cost piece of that is absolutely the infrastructure, particularly whenever you want to put it in more than one additional place, right? Whenever you want to have multiples and having a hot site or even a cold site, it's very, very, very costly. And doing it in Azure, it's very, very, very cheap, which also brings me to the point of, in that scenario, it's not only for the big enterprises that can afford to do that, but it's also the startup businesses and the smaller businesses that could never afford to do it before. Now they can actually afford to do it.
Everybody, right?
Yeah,
it's now available to everybody just because, like you said, it's cost effective, right? It's lowering that TCO. And so anybody, the mom and pop shops, the medium business, SMBs to enterprise, it's just across the board available for anybody now.
All right. So Let's talk about some of the other technologies that are built into the, you know, understanding the architecture of the data management within Azure or across all of Azure.
Sure.
So we have SQL, and there's way more. There's, what, 40-something, 50-something services. I don't know, a bunch of services. So we're not going to talk about all of them.
Yeah.
But I do want to hit a couple of the highlights. We've got, you know, a virtual machine. We understand now, you know, why we would choose a virtual machine if it's running SQL Server over SQL DB and vice versa from a, you know, scalability, performance, and all of that stuff. What about NoSQL, and where does that fit into that, you know, app considerations for the data tier?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, you know, if you look at how, you know, kind of the spectrum of these services, so you've got relational to no relational, relational to non-relational to NoSQL, and it gets kind of, like you say, it gets kind of confusing. Where do they fit into the spectrum? And especially now when they announced, you know, not too, a few months ago, this, you know, DocumentDB as a service, right? Mm. It's a document data store.
Yeah, how I definitely want to talk about that. That's awesome. Yep.
Yeah. How do these fit into the spectrum? And this is not a, we have to think about it in terms of this is not a either or, right? You're not using a SQL Server in a VM, or Azure SQL Database, or DocumentDB, or Azure Storage, right? It's not an or, it's a and, right? These are very complementary services. And one of the things, for example, we have a lot of companies that, you know, they said, for example, companies say, well, our biggest database in Azure SQL Database is 500 gig, right? Not a big deal because as we, you know, again, scale. So we take that database and partition that across multiple databases. So if you have a 1 terabyte database, great, you're just partitioning it across multiple 500 gig databases. But a lot of these companies are saying, well, I can't fit into a 500 gig database. So as we look at their database, you know, a lot of companies will store, you know, blobs in their database,
mm-hmm.
right? Or they'll store historical data that they really don't access much in their database. And if you start looking at this and start saying, well, if we move your blob data out, your historical data out in some of these things that, you know, into Azure Storage, then your database size goes way down and now you can fit into a 500 gig database. If, you know, that makes sense. So it's really, how can we leverage all of these systems? Because, you know, we definitely don't want to say, hey, take your relational database and put that in a, you know, an Azure, in Azure Storage. No, that's not the right solution. It's how can we leverage these together because they complement each other very well. So I've got my relational data. It's in a relational data for a reason. But now I can start complementing this, my relational database, my relational store, with some of these other service data services like DocumentDB, right? This is a document data store at scale, right? So I can spin up a document data store and store my JSON documents, and that scales very well, uses great technology. To store some of my documents, and then use Azure Storage for some of my blobs and other technologies.
Yeah, and whenever customers do that, they're not only gaining the benefit of the sheer performance difference between using the wrong
right.
engine for delivering that to using the right engine, and not only impacting the database, but impacting the rest of the application and the application performance, the application, in some cases, the application security, the whole dynamics of what you're managing within the system. So I totally get that it all works together. Just to throw out an example of what I understand that to be, and correct me if I'm wrong. So if I've got a web server that is pulling content out of a database or rendering content out of a database, and part of that content is pictures, well, yeah, those pictures could be in SQL. Wrong place for them, perhaps. They could be in a table.
Yep.
You know, wrong place for them, perhaps. They could be in DocumentDB. Maybe the right place. Maybe they should be just part of the storage unit itself, right? And you're pulling it right off storage would be a link. But by doing that in different ways, there's different components that make up that entire platform or that entire workload that's doing the work. So you can start strategizing and thinking about what is the best component within that workload to perform this particular task. And as you start making those decisions and doing those things, you get monumental improvement in performance and scalability.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that Microsoft has been pushing real well. Say, look, you know, we've created a number of sample applications that show you how to use these technologies across the board. It's, yes, so I need this type of functionality. Here's the service for it. I need this type of functionality. Here's the service for it. And how to use these together. There's been a huge push to go, you know, if I need this, or here's how I use this service. Here's how I use this service, and here's how I use this service. And the flexibility and functionality around those services. So if I need, right, if I got a web app, I'm gonna pull my data from, you know, not my database or not, maybe not a document store, but, you know, maybe for Azure Storage or maybe some a NoSQL type of component, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really, how do we use these to complement each other and really when and where do we, in what scenario do we use these technologies?
Right, and as we think about some of the rest of the platform, like with analytics and machine learning, where depending on where that is and how you need to get that information, it all kind of gels together at the point of needing to get rich data for my customer, which is the people that are using the system.
Yeah, and it can seem, you know, and you start mentioning these other data services. This can seem kind of daunting or intimidating a little bit, right? Because we're not talking just SQL Server now, SQL Server, SQL in a VM, Azure SQL Database, you know, Document Data Store, Azure Storage. Now we're starting into big data, Internet of Things type technologies. And the list just keeps going of all these different data services. And when do I use what type of scenario, right? You know, yeah. It's like, slow down. I'm just, you know, getting familiar with this technology. So, but, you know, as intimidating or daunting as it can be, I think it really adds to the power and flexibility of, here's these different services, and here's when and where you would use these services, right? So you're not using, you know, it's not a, you know, how do they say it? It's not a, you know, one tool for every trade type of scenario.
Right.
You've got these Power BI for, you know, data visualization, machine learning for data modeling, you know, Hadoop, HD Insight for, you know, mass compute at scale, right? Things like that. So they all have their niche, but they all work very well together.
So let me, the good news is, Scott, that this is a multi-part series, and we're going to go really deep on, like, all of this stuff. But I do want to, and we're going to answer all of those questions, I think, for most of the, the different aspects of Azure as we talk about it.
Yep.
So let's. I do want to on this session drill down just a little bit, because one of the things that I'm a little fuzzy on when it comes to data is Azure Search.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about Azure Search and how that encompasses the data management considerations across the platform.
So Azure Search is an interesting one, but it's an awesome, awesome tool. The Azure Search is ability to say, for example, and let's back up the bus a little bit, right? Because Azure SQL Database, one of the reasons you might use Azure SQL, you know, SQL Server and Azure VM is because you get the full text search capabilities, right? Which Azure SQL Database does not have yet, right? But here comes Azure Search. And Azure Search says, I'm going to give you the ability to search and index across any data, right? Any type of data. Not just Azure SQL Database, but SQL Server data, Document DB data, Azure Storage data. It could call, you know, it could be, you know, relational, non-relational, NoSQL, censored, any type of data. So where it fits in the spectrum of things is to say, how do I, for example, the channel line, right? If you were to go up the Microsoft channel line and do a search for any video or any topic, it's using Azure Search behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the ability to provide full text searching and indexing capabilities across, you know, not just Microsoft technologies, but any data, if that makes sense. Right.
Which implies, yeah, absolutely, it makes sense. Which implies you can also, one of the big things that companies are really concerned with right now is this whole social wave of,
yep.
You know, there's so much social data, and how can I start collecting that data and use that for intelligence on improving, you know, services to my customers,
yep.
Or, you know, outreach to, or even developing new products based on what's going on in the social sphere. So I imagine Azure Search can play a big part in being able to put all of that stuff together. Is that sound fair?
Yeah, absolutely, that sounds fair. It's all about bringing together any type of data, social media data, like Twitter, blog, doesn't matter, any type of data, bringing that in and searching, making that searchable and indexable, right?
So whenever it brings that in, does it have to store it, or is it pulling it whenever it needs it?
So both, actually. So in order for you to make it searchable via Azure Search, you have to pull it into, and I hate using air quotes, but pull it into Azure Search to make it, because Azure Search has to say, okay, here's the data. So, but it could be, like, for example, I was talking with the PM of Azure Search yesterday, and we're talking about, you know, making real-time changes to SQL Server to make it available for Azure Search. And so it can be real time. It can be you're using technologies built into SQL Server, for example, like the change data capture. So as you make changes in SQL Server, that data gets replicated to Azure Search to make it, you know, real time to make it available for search. So things like that. So it can be near real time, or, you know, based on based on schedule and things like that.
Some poll or whatever, right?
Oh, yep.
So let's talk a little bit briefly about Azure Storage. Because all of these technologies ultimately fall on top of storage. Is that fair to say? Is that correct?
Well, when you say Azure Storage, are you talking, you know, Azure Tables, Blobs, Queues, things like that, right?
All of the above, right? Because that is what Azure Storage is. It's all of the above.
Correct. So Azure SQL Database, no. That's SQL's, you know, it spins up a SQL Server database, not really on top of Azure Storage. But everything else, almost, yes, right? So when you spin up an Azure VM, that VHD is placed in Azure Storage, right? When you attach additional drives, that's Azure Storage. So yes, a lot of the features and functionality use Azure Storage behind the scenes. So, you know, they put a huge investment in Azure Storage around that. Not quite sure, to be completely honest, I'm not quite sure how Azure Search or, you know, like DocumentDB use Azure Storage. I'm sure there's some tie into there somewhere, but for the most part, yeah, a lot of the services do use Azure Storage. To what degree, honestly, I'm not quite sure.
So can you kind of define what the difference would be, say, from DocumentDB and Blob Storage, and why they would use one over the other?
Sure. Think about DocumentDB as, you know, a lot of these document data stores. So if you were to compare just at a high level, think DocumentDB much like along the same lines as MongoDB, Couch, Cassandra? That might not be correct, but, you know, like MongoDB or Couch, right? These document data stores allows me to take structured documents like JSON documents or whatever and store those as almost relational documents. Azure Storage is a little different, because if we look at the Azure Storage components, you got Azure Tables, Azure Blobs, and Azure Queues. We'll set aside Azure Queues for a moment, but, you know, Azure Tables is just really key value pair storage. We're not storing documents, but it's more of a key value pair storage. So things like you might put like a Twitter type of solution on Azure Storage, because it's highly transactional, highly scalable key value pair. Okay, Azure Blob Storage is exactly what it is, blobs, right? So I would take, you know, this is where you would store videos, documents, things like that as actual blobs, as actual documents in Azure Blob Storage, right? So there is a significant. So we have to understand the difference between Azure Storage and DocumentDB. DocumentDB says, okay, I'm storing physical JSON documents. I can query those documents. It's highly scalable. I can write T-SQL syntax to query those documents. Blob Storage just says, okay, I've got Azure Tables, key value pair storage, highly transactional, highly scalable, plus blob storage allow me to take and store videos, you know, Word documents, text documents, whatever, as a physical blob.
All right. So as we look at the breadth of the data management across Azure, there's a lot to choose from.
Yep.
What does that mean from an employee standpoint, or the person that's actually going out and doing the work? Say for the role of a DBA, the role of an IT engineer, the role of a developer, are there differences in the way that they need to look at things? Is this something that they have to plan in advance? Is it something they can kind of, you know, what are your thoughts around that?
So I think it just takes some understanding of the technologies. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist degree to figure out how to use these, but I think it just takes some planning in advance to, one, understand these technologies and figure out how in my application I would use these. Especially as these services coming out, I've got a relational database. Great. I'm gonna take my relational database, move that to relational. Okay, great. I have that now. How do I start complementing that with these additional services? And it's really just understanding what they do and how you can leverage those.
Well, so speaking about what they do, learning what they do and how they do it and how you can leverage it, yep. I guess this is a good opportunity to share with the audience some ways that they can get up to speed. First and foremost, I guess, this video is part of a series. The entirety of the series has a landing page at itproguru.com/clouddata. So that's a good place to get information. Yep. I know TechEd, msteched.com, I believe it is, yep. Is a great place to get a lot of information about Azure. That's basically the recordings of everything that's happened, all the sessions or most of the sessions that happened at TechEd.
Absolutely.
And there's a TechEd US, TechEd North America, TechEd Europe, etc.
Yep.
One of the other things that I've also observed is the Azure documentation is pretty awesome.
Very good. Yeah. But I think there's a couple other places. So the Microsoft Virtual Academy website is a great place to start.
Yep.
There's a ton of SQL Server videos, Azure, Microsoft Azure videos on all sorts of, machine learning, HD Insight, Azure SQL Database, a SQL Server and a VM. Great videos out there on these technologies. So, 100 to 400, 500 level type of topics out there on and it's just MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com, right? So you can search for any type of video out there. Another place is a lot of people overlook is Channel 9. Channelline.msdn.com, I think, is the website. And there is just a plethora of videos on all these technologies out on Channel 9. So this is a great platform, but again, Microsoft Virtual Academy, Channel 9, there's some great, the documentation, like you say, I agree with you, is fantastic, but there's wonderful other resources out there for you as well.
Yeah, and a couple other things. I actually have a shortcut for that, Microsoft Virtual Academy, because that is an awesome resource for sure.
Yep.
aka.ms/clouddata.mva.
Okay.
CodePlex. There's a fair amount of stuff out there on CodePlex in terms of seeing how other people have connected to these Azure services and stuff. So
absolutely.
One of the other things that I really want to kind of, this is kind of the beginning of this series, we're going to go a lot deeper on some of these technologies.
Yep.
But one of the things that I want to really drive home for our audience today is, one of the things that I feel like, somebody's been in the industry for almost 30 years, somebody that's been really deep into cloud technologies, data center technologies, virtualization technologies is, the mindset does need to change.
Yes.
And I think we in the technology field, it's incumbent on us to figure out how to use these technologies to move the business forward.
Yep.
Maybe that's to continue the growth or to increase growth of the organization. Maybe it's to increase customer satisfaction or partner satisfaction. In the past, IT was really looked at as, a break-fix organization. From a symbolism standpoint, I think of, the IT guy with a fireman's hat on. And our role with cloud services has changed so much.
Yeah.
And, some people, if they don't change with the times, they'll end up being a fireman forever, and their job will eventually go away. Right? Maybe not go away, but it certainly will not be as impactful for them from a career standpoint as it otherwise could be.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to say it. It's again, like we talked about, it's a paradigm shift. The job may go away, but whether you like it or not, the cloud's not going anywhere. So for your career and the benefit of your career and your company, your environment, how can we start leveraging these technologies, right? And I think it's all about that. It's how do we now start leveraging and understanding these cloud technologies? We're not getting rid of on-prem. But how can we start thinking about and leveraging and growing our understanding of these cloud technologies?
And, you know, there's nobody else in an organization that can do it better than those people that are in that field today.
Right.
So as an example, if you think about CEO, the person that has the vision for the organization, how can they visualize how they can make the company better leveraging technology when they don't even know the technology?
Exactly.
Right? It's hard to see what you can't see, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And in our space, we have that vision. We have the ability to understand what technology can do for our organizations that just is not visible to people like the CFO, the CMO, the CEO, and even the department heads a lot of times, right? So if you've got a business unit, they're not smart on cloud technologies. They don't even know what a SQL or document DB stands for or
right,
means,
exactly.
Right? They're clueless. It's really incumbent on us as IT professionals to bring these technologies to our business leaders and say, you know, business leader, I understand this problem and I have a solution for it. And oh, by the way, you know, you don't have to pay me $50,000 to go buy a bunch of hardware for it.
Right.
Because we can put this proof of concept in the matter of a couple of weeks, or, you know, I've already I already stood it up and did a proof of concept and it works, right? Kind of thing. So the hero factor from IT can really be there, which was not, we didn't have that capability in the past, and now we do have that capability.
I think you're spot on. I think it's also we need to educate the business decision makers, right? We need to help them understand, because the techies, like you say, the techies get it, right? Techies are great. Here's this cool technology. They see the vision. We need to help the business decision makers understand and see this vision as well. So, you know, you're right. Going to them and saying, hey, I just saved you a ton of money, or I just saved you a ton of money on this process because we don't need to buy all this hardware. Okay, great. But we also have to help them understand the bigger vision and the and process around using cloud. Because then they could both get this, right?
I absolutely agree with you. The one point that I want to drive home, though, is it's not going to be the executives that are driving that conversation. It's got to be incumbent on us and technology to drive that conversation up, and understanding what the business impact is that technology can bring to that business.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. Yeah, I won't argue with you there. Absolutely, because if we can sell them on the hey, look, I just saved you a ton of money. Oh, good. Right. So yeah,
exactly.
It's driving up. Yeah. Okay.
And that hero factor is awesome. I love being the hero, going to senior management. Hey, look, I just saved you $1.2 million.
Exactly. And exactly. So, yeah, it's a push up. And I agree with you.
Awesome. So thank you, Scott. I appreciate you joining us today. I just want to, in closing, I want to mention one other thing, and that is the multi-part series. I want to reiterate that URL, itproguru.com/clouddata. And we've got tons more information coming up. And we're also constantly putting additional stuff in MVA. So lots of resources out there. Thanks for joining us. Looking forward to our next session together.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.